All right. So thank you, all of you guys, for being here in person. And for those of you guys who are on the live stream, thank you for tuning in online, too. For those of you who don't know me and you're wondering who's the short guy on stage here, my name is Devin, and I'm the youth pastor here on staff. One thing you could probably guess about me with my position is I'm really passionate about the next generation. And this week's going to look a little different, actually quite a bit different than what we're used to seeing on a typical week, as I'll actually have students come on stage and we'll be interviewing them about their faith, their journey. Journey in faith and how they view the church as a serving opportunity. But it's an obvious statement, I believe, but this next generation is going to lead the church. Like, these young kids who are in high school and middle school will one day take over, and they're going to impact culture as well. But I believe they're already impacting culture. They're not waiting until they're older. Don't believe me. Look up any reels or anything like that. You're going to see a lot of young people on there. But specifically, our young people have really taken advantage of that. I'm also passionate about the older generation as well, as our generation, that we have a responsibility to lead, serve, listen, and direct to these younger generations as well. Bear with me there, sorry. But make no mistake, this generation's already leading. This generation's already having impact on our culture and leading it in their own way. And I believe our students here are actually impacting culture, maybe not in an influencer way, but they're doing that in their communities, just as many of us are trying to impact culture in our own communities. I think we could all agree that when you talk with somebody, you should be willing to learn from them. Even if you know a lot more than them, you should have the mindset of, this person might teach me something. But to be honest, it's weird to have that mindset about, say, a 15-year-old teaching you about God. You're like, what is this kid really going to tell me, let alone anything in life, really? But we should have the mindset to not just lead and direct, but also listen and serve them as well, because they do have something to teach you. Trust me, I learn from them every single week as the youth pastor. They can teach you, and it's our responsibility to also serve them. So it's that weird mindset that you're talking with a younger person, we should have it. But Timothy, who was like Paul's disciple back in the day, had a similar struggle with this. Timothy was a young man, and he was leading the church, and leading parts of the church at least. So people didn't want to look up to him, because in that time, the older you were, even if you lived a bad life, you were correlated being wiser. And the younger you were, the less wise you were. Well, Timothy being a young man coming and teaching, they were like, who's this young guy with no wisdom? So Paul gave him some words of encouragement. And if you want to put that on the screen, 1 Timothy 4:12. All right, it says, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given to you through prophecy when the body of the elders laid their hands on you. So this doesn't just associate, this isn't just for Timothy. This is for young people in general. We have gifts, we have abilities, we have tools, and they're supposed to be teaching and preaching, not just consuming. And according to this verse, we shouldn't look down on our young people. In fact, we should look at our young people and think they're setting an example for one another, both old and young, specifically in speech, conduct, love, faith, purity, to the public reading of Scripture, yes, to preaching, to teaching, and to use their unique gifts. But this doesn't happen because they woke up one day and were like, I'm going to use my gifts and I'm going to start teaching. It happens in response to a growing relationship with Jesus, in a growing relationship to our God. And I'd like to now invite some of our students up in one second here, up to the stage, so we can talk about just this, their growing relationship with God, and how they're now using the church as somewhere to serve, not just be served. It is a consumer versus a contributor mindset. And I believe they're doing exactly this. They have found an opportunity to connect, serve, and grow. And if they found that, how much easier should it be for us to find that? So you guys want to come on up? And can we give our students a round of applause as they come up? There we go. Awesome. So Jenny, do you want to tell me a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Hi, everyone. My name's Jenny. Hi. It was interactive for a second there. I graduated college about 3 or 4 years ago. Sometimes you just stop counting and you lose track. I just got my master's, and I'm working as a behavior analyst with kids that have autism. And then in my free time, I like to play soccer and play board games.
Awesome. Ruben?
Yeah, my name is Ruben. I'm going to the 9th grade. I love playing, watching, and doing fantasy football. So that's nice. Just some stuff that I like to do.
Okay. Celine?
Hi, guys. My name is Celine. I'm going into 7th grade, and I really like music and artwork.
Awesome.
And I like playing soccer.
Awesome. So I also want to ask you guys, what's your favorite lesson or youth experience you've had? Start with you, Jenny, because you've been here since you were like a kid. So a lot to pick from.
Yeah, a lot to pick from. Had to think about it. I decided to talk about a time at Portage Lake in middle school where it was a moment where I just realized that my faith was going to be my own and based on my choices and not based on my parents' choices or how they were leading me.
Yeah, I liked Portage Lake as well. Last year, I went with my cousin, and we were already good friends. We already had the friendship bonds, but going to Portage Lake and building a faith bond is just so much stronger, and I really like that.
I love that. Those faith bonds are really great.
So I'm guessing that all of us really like Portage Lake, apparently, because I also liked Portage Lake. Even though I had lots of questions, all the staff members and all my friends, they helped out answering them.
Ryan.
I'll switch it up a little bit. I really like the Boundary Waters trip I did going into my sophomore year. I thought it was really challenging and fulfilling, and it really introduced me to outdoor adventuring.
Okay. So, Ryan, I'm going to start with you. You guys could be doing plenty of things on your Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. Why do you come to church?
Well, it's really fun, and we get to talk about God, and we get to listen to leaders who know what they're talking about.
Hopefully, yep. Celine, what about you?
So I really like Wednesday nights because it's a safe space. There's not really stress, and there's nowhere else I'd rather be.
Ruben?
Yeah, I really like going to youth group. I like playing the big group games before we go into small groups. I love learning about Christ in the group. I think it's a different but also very good experience than just learning one-on-one. And I also like the free pizza.
Free pizza's true. So, Jenny, you could serve in a lot of different areas. Like, pretty high capacity, and there's a ton of different areas you could serve in. Why do you choose youth and student ministry in general?
So I choose youth and student ministry because, especially at Faith, the adults here really value the youth and the students, and I think it's a great opportunity to be a part of that. I got to see some friends. I had to see some friends going from high school to college or meeting them in college walk away from their faith. Some came back, but some didn't, and I think one of those foundational differences is what their experience was in high school with a church or with people who were mentoring them and pouring into them and their lives. And from like my personal experience, I was seeking out, I think, conversations that were a little bit deeper and more intentional. And I had some opportunities in high school, but I really started to get those opportunities more frequently in college. And so coming from that setting and back to my home church, I think it's a great opportunity to be able to bring those intentional conversations to the students and the youth because they're in a weird in-between from being, like, they're not really kids anymore and they're not really adults. They're ready to have those critical thinking conversations, though. So I really like to do that with them and be able to create those opportunities for them to grow and build those foundations as well. I pick youth over like kids ministry because I work with kids all day, every day. And sometimes it's just nice to get something new and different. And then there was a time where I was leading worship in college and I realized that was not the right fit for me. I had the skills. I like knew how to play an instrument. But it stressed me out a lot. And just because of my personality and where I was putting a lot of value in that time, I realized that worship was not going to be the place for me because it was taking the joy away from it.
That's awesome, especially like building upon that foundation that we're hopefully setting. So Ruben, you've been coming to the church for a long time and you're pretty consistent. What are some ways you've grown over the last few years?
Yeah, so just a couple months ago, last week, going to Portage Lake, I learned that God always answers your prayers, even if the response isn't immediate, and a lot of the times it's in ways you can't see. So.
Yeah, that's awesome. Celine?
So I didn't feel like I could ask Jesus about the little things because I feel like he's too busy with everything else, like world hunger and stuff like that. And now I understand that Jesus cares about me and he will answer all my questions and hear me out no matter what.
That's awesome. Ryan?
I think I've grown in a really deep understanding of the Bible and I've gained a real willingness to go out and talk about it with other people.
Yeah, that's huge. So Jenny, how have you grown as a leader over the past few years and how do you encourage our students to grow as well?
Over the last few years, I really got to look at what it looks like to switch my identity from being in like academics or sports or just success in general to being Jesus and putting my identity in Christ. And with that, I've gotten to see how the gospel applies to my life in a lot of different ways. From just first, like, yeah, when you sin, you can't just be like, oh, I messed up, let's move on. Like, no, ask for forgiveness. To seeing how once you do ask for forgiveness, God gives you grace. It's not just something meant for just other people. It's also something that's for myself. And that experience has really shown me how God works in my life over time and how everything is a process. And I bring that into then my time with the students as well, letting them know, like, hey, this is a process. It's a journey. And through that, we can build community together and build relationships and point each other back to God together and find ways to connect the gospel to their life as well. Because if they're just, hearing it but not seeing how to connect it to their life, then they're missing out.
That application is huge in there as well. So Jesus said, I did not come to be served, but to serve. By serving, how does this help you grow as a Christian, like specifically serving?
The students help me out a lot, and they don't realize it. The first thing that they do is they hold me accountable. If I'm going to tell them, like, you need to read your Bible every day, you better bet you I'm reading my Bible every day, or at least trying to. If I stop saying it, guys, that's a note for you. Like, maybe you should tell me. because that means I wasn't doing it. So I think that is the one big way that they help me continue to grow. And it's a great time to be able to do life together as well.
So Ruben, how about you? How does serving help you grow as a Christian?
Yeah, so a lot of the time, well, people come to church to be served by the pastor. But I feel like if you are the one serving the people, it's a lot different experience, but it also can help you grow and it can help you be more patient.
Okay, good. Ryan, what about you?
Well, God has given me a lot of opportunities for leadership, particularly in the last few months of my life. And I feel like it's really helped me grow as a Christian because it makes me not just want to like go and listen to Devin or Pastor Mike talk about God, but actually want to apply the principles that I've learned and live like Jesus did.
Awesome. So I'm going to ask Jenny this one. How do you share your faith outside of church?
The first thing that I do is I make sure people know I go to church. So at work, I'll just like randomly be like, yeah, I'm going to church this Sunday. Or there's this event that's happening for the youth that I'm going to help lead. And that creates opportunities for my coworkers and some friends to recognize like, oh, if this is something I want to explore and seek out more information on, then Jenny's somebody I can go to. The cool thing is that did happen. And then that even further opened up a door where I could follow up with her and say like, hey, how was it going to that church with your boyfriend? What was it like? What are you thinking about it? What'd you think about what they talked about? Another way that I do it is we all experience challenges at work, whether it's with our management or our coworkers, there's always going to be conflict. And so when I'm with my coworkers and my friends and we're trying to, I like to think we're trying to figure out some solutions. Sometimes it's just complaining. Let's be real. When we're going through those moments, for me, I get to a point where it's like, okay, this is where we're at. yes, this is stressful, but this is just the reality. We need to do these next things and move on and accept that this is how it's going to be. It takes a long time sometimes, but I'll get there, whereas a lot of my peers will just continue to be stressed and anxious. And so seeing that difference, they've asked me times before where they're like, why are you okay with this? And that opens the door for me to say, hey, like, I get that this is wrong and unjust. Like, I feel it, trust me. But at the end of the day, I don't think our CEO is in charge. Like, he's in charge of our company, but God is the one who's actually in charge. And so I don't have to rely on my CEO to make sure that my future is going to be good or be what God wants. That's where God comes in.
I love that, putting your future in God's hands. Ruben, how do you share your faith outside of church?
Yeah, so I love bringing up my faith in conversations. I quote scripture without even knowing it sometimes. Sometimes it's in my head. Like, if I want to sneak an extra cookie from the cookie jar, there would be a voice in my head that's like, you shall not disobey thy mother and thy father. So, yeah, it's definitely helpful to have that little voice in your head that reminds you of scripture in certain situations like that one.
That's awesome. Celine, what about you?
So, what was the question?
How do you share your faith outside of school or outside of church?
Oh, so some of my friends, they're of different faiths. So I start telling them about Jesus, and I be open about my faith, so people know I'm Christian.
Oh, that's awesome. So I think it's common, like really common, that a lot of us, even in this room, are nervous to share about faith. Celine, how have you overcome that?
So I become somebody that people feel comfortable talking to me. So once they're comfortable, I can start sharing faith, so it's not, like, scary anymore.
That's good. Ryan, what about you?
Honestly, I just try to be vulnerable, you know? Because I feel like that makes the other person way more comfortable and more willing to open up about their thoughts and feelings on God and how he's moving in their life.
Yeah, I love that. Vulnerability is contagious, right? Yeah. Jenny, what about you?
So overcoming talking to...
So how have you overcome that fear to talk with others about your faith, but also how are you equipping our students to do so?
Okay, students. So I think that, honestly, this is a gap in our student ministry right now. It's a growth area. Devin's looking to change that and build it further. There's a lot of things I've wanted to do over the years but haven't had time or made it enough of a priority. One of those things is using tools that were introduced to me through CREW, a campus ministry at MSU, and bringing them to our students, teaching them how to use it. Because those tools give them a framework for how conversations can progress into gospel discussions, topics like reconciliation of relationships, things like that. So I think bringing those tools in and teaching students how to use them will give them a repertoire of questions that they can then pull from when they're out in the public and don't have them with them, and those conversations just pop up.
That's awesome. If there was someone in here struggling to connect with God, what's some advice you'd give them, Jenny?
The first time I was asked this, I was like, everybody struggles to connect with God for a different reason, so I don't know how to answer that.
Right.
But when I think about it, the blanket statement that I would give is just seek out characteristics about God, identify what they are, do research on them, figure out more about his character, because as you see those things, you're going to see how he wants to connect with you. And pick out ones that are important to you. So for me, I pick out that God is just, that he's good, and that he's patient. Because, let's be honest, I get mad at him all the time. And when I focus on those characteristics, then I know that he is going to be patient and wait for me to come back to him. And I can rely on that because he's just and he's good.
Awesome. Ruben, what about you, man?
Yeah, so look how I said earlier, God always hears and responds to prayers, even if it's not immediate or the way you think. Jesus also came down and died for us, so I'm pretty sure he would want to have a relationship with us. Also, I think a good idea if you're struggling in your faith is to find people that are like farther along in their life and are know more about the Bible and stuff like that, like Pastor Devin, and you can have a one-on-one with them and discuss your problems, because chances are they've probably gone through that.
Ryan, what about you?
I'd say find a group of people or even just one person who's willing to mentor you and guide you through their faith journey, you know, because God's put other people in our life to teach us and mentor us.
I love that. Don't do it alone. Be in community. So as a young person, how has God shaped you to the person you are today, Celine?
So before, I used to hear, like, from youth group, all these lessons and Bible verses and stuff, and I'd hear it, and then I'd just move on. It'd be done. So, but now I take it more serious, and I use it in my day-to-day life.
Yeah, to apply it. That's awesome. Ruben, what about you?
Yeah, so kind of like what Celine said, listening to the sermon and not letting it just run through your head, but actually live what you learned in the church. So a lot of people that I know don't actually, like, live out what they learn in the sermon. They just listen to it and go on with their daily life. But as a young person and listening to a bunch of pastors throughout my life and applying it, it can help you really equip in your path forward that God has chosen for you.
Awesome. Ryan, what about you, man?
I'd say God's made me just a way more positive person, and all the struggles I go through in my life, I see them not as like a curse or a mistake or something that's going to tear me down, but as experiences that are going to build me up and bring me closer to God and make me a better person.
That's awesome. So as a young person, you've experienced many difficulties, especially being a Christian and being open about your faith. Jenny, what are some difficulties you experienced being a young Christian, and how have you overcome those difficulties?
I think the biggest thing for me is that everybody, whether they're identify as Christian or not, deals with sin. They won't call it sin, but they'll be experiencing it. And then with that, when we're talking to each other, because of our affirming culture, a lot of times they end up validating my sin. So I might be saying something like, yeah, like recently I've been putting my identity in my work and my success, and it's like really messing me up mentally, and I have to like switch that back and really start more focusing on God. And my friends will hear that and start saying things like, oh no, like it's okay, your work is really important and what you do is so valuable, like it's okay that you're putting your identity in that. And it's really frustrating for me in those moments because it feels like a setback there, where now all of a sudden I'm not just trying to struggle through and work through this sin by myself or in community from church, but by myself in those moments. Like, I'm also trying to, like, then defend myself to them and justify why, like, no, this is sin and it's not okay. And I think that happens a lot, where our sin is validated and it makes it harder to turn away from.
Love that. Celine, what about you?
So when I first went to middle school, there was barely any Christians. So that made it hard because that means I wouldn't have as many friends. But I overcame that by sharing about Jesus. And I have a lot that shows I'm Christian. My locker, I had pictures of Jesus. I have cross necklaces and bracelets. So then people would know I'm Christian. So then people could ask me about Jesus. And sometimes it wouldn't work out good. Sometimes they get mad because they don't believe in what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's true. Ruben, how about you, man?
Yeah, so in middle school and in high school, people will say that they're Christians, but they definitely don't act the part. And so I get it, because it's difficult to be Christian and to not try and be the cool person or the popular person. That's definitely a roadblock. But the thing is, if God wants you to stick out, it's for a reason, because people will notice that you're sticking out, and they'll ask you why you do your faith, and you respond, I do my faith because of this, this, and this, and then that could lead a person to heaven, which is very valuable.
Yeah, very valuable, I think is an understatement. But thank you guys for coming up here and answering some questions. Can we give a round of applause for our students? Thank you, guys. Be great. So, hopefully, from this time, to hearing from our students, you can see something unique. I hope you guys can see that these students have a relationship with God, yes. But I hope you can see that out of their relationship with God, they have a response. That they don't just keep their faith to themselves, but they spread it. They don't just take what they hear and not apply it. But what they when they grow with Jesus, the reaction and what comes out of that is they serve like Jesus. They teach. They lead each other. They have developed a mindset to where they already understand that they have a role to participate in, at not just in this church, but in their communities and in their lives. They can already stand that the church isn't just a place to hear God's word and consume, but also a place to contribute. That's part of it. It's an important part, yes, to hear God's word and be able to consume it, but to contribute within God's word, I would argue, is just as equal. James 2:17 says, faith without works is dead, and James 2:18 says, but some of you will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. So, first of all, that isn't teaching that if you don't have works, you're not saved. No, we're saved by grace alone. But what that is saying is that if you are saved and the process of sanctification is happening in your life, then works should be evidence of that saving and process of sanctification occurring. That should be the natural outcome, is works that associate with it. So sanctification, by the way, is a big word that I think some of us use and we don't explain. All that means is that God is working on your heart to change your actions and works to reflect a more Christ-like character that has a desire to love each other and God. That's what that means. And it's a process that is never complete until we return to God. But what it looks like is if somebody's driving, if you're driving, I don't know, how many of you guys have been cut off and you get a little too angry? I'm the only one, huh? Okay, all right. I get cut off all the time, and I get a little frustrated, not proud of it. But when I get cut off, the first thing I do, I'm ashamed to say it, is I speed up, and I try to get next to them. That way I can roll down my little bit, window a little bit and look at them and give them the you're an idiot look. Like that's me being a broken, bad person. But the longer that process of sanctification occurs, the more likely I am to just go, hey, you know what? You cut me off. I make mistakes too. We all make mistakes. We all fall short. I forgive you because I'm forgiven. It's important to change that heart and the desire, and your actions should follow with that. So, but this verse, back to the verse there, it communicates that if you were saved and being sanctified, you should be able to show your faith by your works. That these things aren't separate, but they should be aligned with each other. It's the process of becoming more like Jesus that your works should be evidence of your saving and process of sanctification. And if that's true, though, that your faith is changing how you work and how you go about life, then the church should go from a place of consumption, to where we hear God's word and we consume, to a place of contribution, to where we're giving back and we're trying to serve within the church. When I was meeting with Ryan, one of the things he said to me, I was asking about like the church and serving and stuff. He said, church is a place where you have the opportunity to apply what you've learned. And I was like, wow, a senior who just gets it, like a young person who just understands it. And I love that mindset because it shows that the place, that, yes, it's here to teach you, but it's also to apply what you've learned. It's an opportunity to do those things. So Christian proclamation, saying it out loud, is the gospel audible, which is extremely important. But Christians living in the local congregation makes the gospel visible. The church is the visual representation of the gospel. But this doesn't just happen for me telling you about it briefly. This happens out of a relationship with Jesus. It happens in response to growing closer and closer to God, making the church a visual representation of the gospel. It happens out of response to knowing God more. And out of knowing God, the more you go in relationship with him, the more you're going to serve, like how he did. You're going to share about him. You're going to lead like how he did, sacrificially. And the byproduct is that your life and your work will look like what the Gospels are proclaiming. And here at Faith, we have a lot of ways for you to connect. We have a lot of ways for you to be able to serve, as most churches do, but I think we do a really good job at it here. So you can talk to any pastor about that, even Kat and the worship team. You can talk to them and you can connect in a lot of ways. But I will shamelessly say and plug that if you want to have the most impact for how you serve, I believe that's in student ministry. I just do. I'm the youth pastor. Of course, it's going to be natural year for me that way, but I genuinely believe it. These young people, middle school and high school, they're going to impact the future of the society, of the culture, and of the church. So if you want to be a part of that, that is an amazing way to do so. But there's lots of ways you could serve. But ways you could serve our students, one way that I think is often so overlooked is pray for them. You don't have to do a whole bunch of things, but sit down and pray for our students, pray for our youth, pray for the next generation, that God could be with them and that their gifts could be used and utilized. Another way is you could serve and lead like Jenny does. Another way is you could give to them, like how I do every week. Or you could just have a conversation with them, talk with them, and understand that you do have something to learn from them, that they do have abilities and talents. Listen to them. Don't just lead and direct, but serve and listen to them as well. And the more you do that, regardless of if it's in student ministry or if it's elsewhere, I just hope that you have a growing relationship with Jesus like how our students here do. Because out of that, that's where the gospel becomes visual. That's where all of a sudden you can see God's word come to life in front of you. So I hope you can take that step to serve. And if our students have found a way to connect, serve, and grow, we should too. We should be able to find a way to do that quite easily. Be a part of something that shows your faith by your works. So would you pray with me? Father God, thank you. Thank you for our students. We thank you for our youth. But we also pray that you be with them. That you be with this next generation of people, that you can guide and direct them, that your hand will be on this generation, but also for us to help lead in our communities, to help be there, to help become a pillar, to serve, to contribute, and not just consume at church, but we can give back what we already have. And there's so many ways. And give us courage to take that next step, to take that step forward, to say, I'm willing to now to put action behind my faith, to be able to show my faith by my works. Give those people the confidence, courage, and put the right people around them to equip them to do so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.